Tekiya. Trua. Tekiya. Tekiya gedolaha. Hi, this is Rabbi Jim Egolf. I want to wish all of you Shana Tova. It is the Jewish New Year, and the following couple sermons are going to be those which I delivered from our Bima at Beth David. I want to thank you so much for joining me. I hope you're having a sweet and wonderful Rosh Hashanah, Happy New Year. And we'll get to some of the things that were on my mind and even on the mind of our entire country as we get through these next couple of sermons. Again, Shana Tova Umetuka. Charles Darwin was once asked, after all his discoveries, about how we are linked to the lower animals, whether there was still anything unique about being human. He answered, "Humans are the only animals that blush." To which Mark Twain added, "Sure, humans are the only animals with good reason to blush." What does it mean to blush? It is an expression of self-consciousness, of knowing that we are being watched and held to standards. We first knew this in the Garden of Eden. The other animals were naked, but unaware. Adam and Eve sought to hide. They blushed. One of the results of the knowledge of good and evil, of the knowledge that we have choices, is the feeling of self-consciousness, the sense that we are called to something higher. Being called to something higher, we confront self-consciousness as we begin this new year, this Rosh Hashanah, by making a cheshbon hanefesh, an accounting of our souls. In this metaphor, we are asked to balance the books of our life during the past year and find out how well we did. Then we try to determine whether we're in the black or the red. We also can wonder, how can we ever determine which side we're on and what is the baseline? Yes, we can turn to tradition and try to find resources and guides, but how do we take all this sacred heritage and form them into some sort of system for ourselves? What is the benchmark for each of us in our personal journeys that'll help us to know that we are at least close, if not in keeping, with our spiritual plan for the year, and for that matter, our lives? For Slichot this year, we had a program that included watching The Bucket List. Someone said to me, "Great, Rabbi, we're supposed to come and see a movie about two guys dying." Well, in reality, it is a movie about two men living and learning and deciding that the best way to come to grips with their illnesses was to live life to the fullest. When we try to live life to the fullest, we have to ask ourselves those annoying questions about purpose and value and begin to own our personal sense of meaning. How do you own your personal sense of meaning? It's not like you can walk into a store and buy meaning. Some say that people turn to religion for a sense of meaning, but that is really not absolutely true. Religion does have truths within it. It does have meaning in it. But how any of us take these truths and meaning and define them for ourselves means that we have to be our own artists in terms of getting to this work of art that's called our lives. Some run away from dealing with illness or death. But at times, the attempt to evade the painful in our lives actually prevents us from living and is more of an impediment to living life. You know, if you think about it, the scariest moment in the world is driving 70 miles an hour down I-76. But the safest way is when we're bumping along at 5 miles per hour. It's when you can see the rocks and the trees and that junk on the side of the roads, which is being cleaned up by the sweeper that's 3 miles ahead of you, that's right while you're bumping along at 5 miles per hour. And even though this is the safest way to go about driving down I-76, it's often the way that most annoys us. Well, Abraham Joshua Heschel's quote comes to mind, "Survival is not a measure of excellence." And why does it take the facing of our mortality to get us to confront what is most important? And why are we so good at living in denial? So I want to share a recent personal journey with you. I have to admit that I have had to struggle with this question this year. And what can I say? It is never easy. As many of you know, earlier this year I was accepted to a program for rabbis called Good to Great. This is a nationally competitive program that requires many pages of forms and essays in order to get into the program. Well, I was confronted with one of the most dreaded things that I hate to do. I had to write a personal statement. It is ironic that I can sit with most families for about an hour and I can write a complete eulogy, a story about another person's life, and I may have never even met the person. But I can't do it when it comes to me. It is painful. It is difficult. And I know ahead of time it's something I don't like to do. When I went to the program, I had to actually take all of that I had done in my rabbinate and everything I had written on these pages, and I had to distill it down into one sentence. If writing 2 to 3 pages about me is difficult, trying to get down to one sentence is particularly excruciating. I did manage to do it, but not without spending about an hour to come up with one sentence. My baseline, my benchmark for what I do every day, here it is. My passion is to connect my congregants through Torah, my synagogue, and other Jewish experiences to the passion, interest, and Jewish life that inspired me while being healthy and humble. I offer this statement, though it's still in a draft form, as the point where the different sides of the scale become balanced for me. Health and humility, passion and life, interests, Torah, community, the Jewish world. These are things I want to share with you. When I sit down and ask myself the question, what is the benchmark or the litmus test? This is my working answer. Because when I was a kid, something ignited a fire that drove me to stand as a rabbi, as my Jewish contribution to the world. I am hoping that we can find a way to kindle that spirit or make that flame roar with power and passion in you. But enough about me. How about you? As you look at your accounting in life this year, what was your standard? And where are you? First and foremost, I have to tell you that if you have an established way of self-reflection, self-judgment, and you're feeling like you're in the black, which means that you're good for this year, all I can say is Yesher Koach, which is right on from right to left. There is no need for you to feel bad. Judaism doesn't have a need for us to walk around feeling bad about ourselves, because as humans, we teach in Judaism that we are neutral and our deeds make us good. If you're finding yourself out of balance or don't know which side you are on, by what standard are you judging yourself? Is it a fair one? We're going through a horrible economic cycle at the moment, and many people are facing judgment from their bank accounts, or they're getting phone calls about loans, and they're feeling judged. But should they? If we allow the standard of the world to replace how we see ourselves, chances are we will always feel less than. This is how a capitalistic market system has made its profits, you know, new and improved. Stop and ask yourself, what is most important for me to do to judge myself as I live my life? That's the question for you to ask yourself. What is on your bucket list? And how might you approach your final end? One of the issues we increasingly face is that of valuing our own voices, because our own sense of values is often diminished at the expense of others. When we are diminished, we forget our passions. We might be cogs in some kind of an economic wheel, but there are other cogs out there, and as we see more and more outsourcing, those cogs, people in other countries, are willing to do it for far cheaper than anybody else will. This is the possible hard reality many in our country are facing today. And as we face this crisis, we need to be asking questions as a country and as individuals. We no longer live in the days when having a career at one of the top 500, 100, or even one of the Dow 30 components will assure you job security. While companies may expect their employees to work much harder than the storied days when people actually retired from the company where they began, the job market, is much more fluid. When we look to assess how we've done, we might be wondering, like many of those who worked at Lehman Brothers, how could I have been so dedicated to doing things right when things were going so wrong? I have to invite you back to the question I put forth, namely, what do you think is important and what matters to you? If these questions don't seem relevant to you, I hate to say it, but perhaps you are more in need of them than most. If your list isn't complete, if you don't know what you are living for, by God, and by this holy day, find it. No one else can do this for you. I don't want the facing of your death or some serious illness at some point in the future to be the only things that might force you to reflect on life and consider what you think is important. Find your cheshbon. Find the way in which you choose to judge yourself and make the determination where you are with what you believe, with what you hold sacred, spiritual, and meaningful. You will never run out of people who will be willing to tell you what is most important. The question is, do you hear your own voice in this cacophony? Your voice, your sense of right and wrong, your understanding of your purpose in life is what I want you to spend time figuring out. Now, I've been honest about me. Let me be honest with you. This is not an easy thing. It is not going to be fun, but nothing could be more important than for you to find your own understanding of judgment and benchmark and balance for your soul. One of the themes of the High Holidays is a sense of renewal. I am hoping that you find a way into an honesty and meaning for yourself that allows you to have a sense of constant purpose as you enter this year. Now, what is God's purpose? There's actually a kind of a job description written into the prayer book that I want to share with you. It is, HaMechadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh V'Reshit. And I'm going to translate this passage as the one who constantly renews with divine goodness the work of creation. That first word, HaMechadesh, is a continuing invitation and obligation. It means the one who makes new. We need to renew ourselves. We need to ask for a sense of wonder, not for what we are told is important and most vital, but for what we arrive at as our understanding of the meaning of life. As you make an accounting of the year and ask hard questions of yourself, ask this: in what way will you live next year that allows you to act like God, to touch and be in touch with a sense in yourself of HaMechadesh, of creating anew as you live each day? How do you pick and choose each word that defines how you live? And does the way you live renew you, or does it exhaust you? My prayer for you is that the list you have in your hand, or that you create, is one that you wrote, not one that was written for you. May it have enough obligations that it carries a sense of weight and purpose. May it be simple enough for you and others to easily understand. And may it contain the energy and passion to take you through more than the next year. May it have the power and strength to carry you through the rest of your life. I wish you Shana Tova Umetuka. May you have a sweet and happy New Year.